Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin! I want you to stay.
What an emotional song for an emotional episode. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Vampire Diaries AfterBuzz TV After Show. It is season 6, episode 14, Stay, hence the song. Right before we get started, make sure if you're watching us live, give us a thumbs up. If you're not, then make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, what else? Everything that you can think of. Find AfterBuzz TV. Make sure you find our AfterBuzz TV Vampire Diaries after show. And give us some love. Give us, you know, 5 stars on iTunes. Give us some comments, some love. We do have our YouTube live stream going right now, and I am reading everyone's comments. But clearly, it's going to be harder for me to type back to you guys tonight. I am your host, Tiana Hobson, and you can follow me on Twitter at the Tiana Hobson. I have two amazing co-hosts with me today.
Hello, what's up? I'm Katie Campbell, and you can find me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell.
And I'm Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter at SamD43. Sorry, I have a cast. I couldn't be here last week. Just a word to the wise, buy the packets of tuna, not the cans. That's what happened here, so I'm glad to be back.
It was a tragic accident. Yes. Luckily, she got some vampire blood in her, and she's doing better now.
She's good.
She's good to go. Speaking of vampires and maybe making not the best decisions, not that I'm saying you're not smart, Sam, but let's talk about Enzo. From tonight, we have been wondering what exactly his plan is, and I know fans here and there are very frustrated with him and don't really see what his purpose is. How are you guys feeling about Enzo's plan with Sarah and Maddie?
I just don't understand where he is in his head and what he's doing right now. I mean, he said that he wants to make Sarah beg to become a vampire to get, I mean, this is ultimately to get back at Stefan, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. He did have a purpose, it seemed like, at the end of last season, and even at the beginning of this season, but now his purpose is stupid, and it's just kind of a distraction to the... I mean, there's enough storylines here. I don't feel any love for him anymore.
You know, he wasn't in the episode last week at all, correct? And yeah. I didn't miss anything. Mm-mm. It didn't... Like, tonight, I felt like, where's Kai? I'd rather Kai have been around doing something crazy than having Enzo there doing this stupid thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the title I wrote on the board is literally, Enzo is stupid.
Because he is. And how is he controlling Matt this much? Because, like, you guys keep saying this. Why isn't Matt calling one of his friends? Like, Stefan, help me. Something's going on. Why isn't he doing that?
I don't know, because, okay, so last week it was the threat over his mom that made him stay at Duke and do what he was doing there. And this week he uses Jeremy as leverage, which, you know, he goes, I'm sticking a little closer to home. But again, I know everyone has other things they're worrying about with Sheriff Forbes and, you know, all this other stuff. But if you just said, hey, guys, Enzo has Jeremy. Everyone is going to drop what they're doing to come to Jeremy's rescue. And I think it has something to do with Matt still not fully trusting vampires. But why is he so willing to work with Enzo is my question.
Oh, I don't think he's as much willing as that he's being, like, a baby. I kept on thinking this episode, like, why is he doing this? Like, why is he going along with it? He's angry at all the vampires, you know, all of his friends, he's had it. But at the same time, he needs their help, and if he doesn't get their help at some point, he's going to get killed.
Yeah. What do you think? Katie, what's that face?
I'm just not, like, I don't like this whole thing. I want Matt to say something. And when he got hit by the car tonight, that was
scary.
Oh my gosh, it was so scary.
Because Matt's very human right now. So
he was in so much pain.
Yeah, he collapsed lung and everything. Just looking at the chat roll right now, BDog8504 said, could Enzo see something in Sarah that reminds him of his old flame Maggie? Which I hadn't really thought about that angle before. Maybe that's why the connection of him trying to go after her and...
But is it, like, just the fact that, you know, it's Stefan's relative and Stefan wanted to make sure that she was super safe, so Enzo doing this is going to cause problems for Stefan? Or is it more, like, could he be interested in her? I've never really gotten that vibe, but maybe...
We need it. I at least need it to be more than him just wanting to destroy Stefan. Because it's stupid. This is just dumb. It's a pointless storyline. But if for some reason he has a connection to this girl that we don't know about, or he'll start to develop one. Because we don't know what happened after he gave Matt the vampire blood. And she's like, oh, and she freaked out. And that's all we saw.
Yeah. I just don't know why it had to be that intense for her to start being curious about vampires. Why did it have to be that?
Why does it have to be... I mean, I get why it's her, because it's the secret Stefan's been keeping from Damon. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, why is it any of Enzo's business or his concern she's been kept there? I'm sure if Stefan were to go tell Damon... I mean, we all know Damon can act out in different ways. But if Stefan went to Damon and said, hey, so remember how you thought you killed her? Well, I actually saved her, got her, you know, she's alive. I don't see Damon getting too... pissed off about
that. No, me neither, because here's the thing, at the end of the day, he still killed her mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So. And Stefan was protecting her from him, which I think this Damon can understand. Damon of the past, maybe not so much, but this Damon that we have currently could understand what his brother was doing.
Right.
Yeah, and I just, there has to be some kind, the writers on this show are too smart to have it be so, like, black and white, cut and dry, because it's dumb. It doesn't really tie into anything that we're concerned about right now.
And wouldn't Damon ultimately be mad, depending on how far he pushes Sarah and, like, messes up her life, even though Damon will learn the truth and stuff, but wouldn't he be annoyed with Enzo for kind of creating this issue?
And I think Matt should take a little more responsibility, too, because he's recently said he's trying to protect the humans, yet here he is letting Enzo toy him, like, push him around and put Sarah into more and more harm's way. Like, leading her down that creepy tunnel, that was just, you didn't know what Enzo had planned. I mean, clearly it was a plan for Matt to get hit, not her.
Right.
But it could have been anything. It could have been a surprise attack by a bunch of vampires. Like, you don't know what Enzo's thinking, so Matt needs to man up and start speaking out to save the humans, because that's who he says he wants to be.
Exactly.
Is a protector of the humans.
And, I mean, the only reason, first of all, when Enzo called Matt and said, I have Jeremy, call his sister, call anybody, unless, like, Enzo had blackmail on Matt, which, to my knowledge, he does not, there's no reason why he shouldn't have done any of those things, taken those precautions to help save his friend and to help save this girl that he kind of likes. Just dumb.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, Sarah seems interested in some way about what's happening. We'll find out more, I guess, because, you know, things kind of jump. We don't see what her reaction is after Enzo leaves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we will find that out later. I want to talk about Jeremy a little bit, because Jeredog is leaving, and I think all of our hearts are missing him already, but there's a surprise twist, because we think he's going off to art school, and here he comes at the end of the episode. Plot twist! He's going to hunt vampires in Santa Fe.
I'm not really happy with that storyline, just because everybody wants him to be safe and to live this, you know, life and move on and just have a normal life, and that's not going to be a normal life.
No, not at all. And Alaric is facilitating this not normal life. And we thought Alaric was, like, his biggest advocate, you know, go have a normal life. No, he's sending him off with freaking weapons.
Yeah.
Speaking of weapons of mass destruction, I see Roxy Stryer has made it into the building.
I'm really sorry that I was late, guys. And I'm just incredibly stoked to talk to you guys about this episode, which was one of the best episodes of the season.
It was, wasn't it? So what do you feel about Jeremy's secret plan to go off and hunt vampires?
You know, I was really surprised by this, and I don't feel like much surprises me on this show anymore. It's just, like, how long has he been thinking about this, you know? Mm-hmm. We hear Alaric's been in on this with him. Is this, and something about Santa Fe, and that's where he's going because of the animal bites, which obviously we know what that means. Is this, like, a month long, 2 months long? Has he been planning this for a year? Does he even care about art? Like,
I thought the art school thing came out of left field, too,
well,
for me.
No. Well, he used to draw.
Season one. Yeah.
Yeah, but then it was like, we don't hear anything about it, and then all of a sudden he's going to art school.
Well, I think it's basically because his passion was torn away from him in a way when all the supernatural things came into his life. And before then, that was his passion and, like, smoking weed and stuff, which, again, like, came in the episode.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird because a lark turns to him and says, you know, I'm proud of you, and you have to be an adult now and make your own decisions.
But
what? Like, what are you proud of?
Now he's understand. In danger.
He's about to go kill a bunch of what used to be your people.
And Elena and Damon mentioned at the very beginning of the episode that they compelled him to get into art school. Like, they compelled somebody at the art school to actually enroll him. So, will that get back to them that Jeremy isn't showing up for classes? Or did he call and, like, cancel?
I mean, I think they're good at covering their tracks with these things. I think he is smart enough to send Elena pictures to make him look like he's hanging out in school and making friends and having a life, because Elena's the type of sister who's going to want proof, or else she's going to come out there and see you.
Yeah, but what about the school?
And how's he going to bankroll this?
Like, well, apparently they have a lot of money, because Elena was like, oh, I'm just going to ship my car to you. And that's not a cheap thing to do either.
You could just
get another car. Like, I was thinking about that. But if you were to compel somebody to give you a car,
it's kind of messed up.
Yeah, that's kind of rude. Like, if somebody compelled me to give my car to them, and the next morning I woke up and was like, dude, where's my car?
You could compel the salesman at the dealership.
Yeah, but then that person's going to get fired when they are missing $30,000 for the car.
Well, we could just Damon to drive her, I suppose.
She said to be on the lookout next week for a shipment, a SUV shipment. Yeah. So clearly she means...
When she said that, I honestly felt so stupid because I was like, oh, she's going to send him a lot of stuff.
Me too.
Not what she meant.
I thought it was a care package.
Me too. Like, it's SUV size. Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
I mean, that's one thing he's going to have to do. He's going to have to get some sort of, like, apartment to set up for mail, like a P.O. box to get mail sent to when he's out for weeks at a time hunting vampires so that people don't get suspicious.
Right. Well, two things about this. Let's be real. If he's a vampire hunter, he is, like, if he was a freshman in college, he wouldn't really need a car. You don't really need a car as a freshman in college.
Some of them have it, though.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I had it, but it's not like he's like, I really need it. It makes sense now. He does need it. Secondly, real quick, Julie Pleck made it so cut and dry that Steve McQueen was done. He might come back for weddings and funerals. But to me, the only way that storyline would have made sense was if he went to school. It was like he went to go do his life. But no, the story's going to continue.
I mean, it has to do with the fact with Bonnie.
If she comes back, that he would be called. I'm a little worried for him, though, with this whole hunting thing, because Enzo had his foot on his face and was messing him up, and he was bleeding, and it's like, if you're a hunter, and you can't even help yourself there...
Well, he didn't have his gear.
But you need the gear?
All right, correct me if I'm wrong, and I really, really don't know what happened to this, so I'm sorry, because people are going to get after me right now. What was the deal with the ring? Does he still have that ring that makes him alive, or did he give it to Matt? Well, he did give it to Matt. Who has that ring?
I thought they all stopped wearing them because of the side effects of dying so many times.
I thought they continued. I thought Matt continued to wear it at least until the end of last season. Matt was still wearing the ring, and my question was, why is he still wearing it? It's like not safe, but he was still wearing it. So I don't know.
And why was Jeremy bleeding from the mouth?
Because there was a foot?
Yeah, but it was weird. It looked like he was gargling blood or something.
That's probably what he was literally doing for that take.
At the time.
But, you know, because Enzo had his foot. Vampires are very strong, so if you put enough pressure, someone's...
And he's laying down.
Their teeth, you know, that's a lot of blood can come from there, so it's probably...
Why are you doing that?
And he's laying down, so the blood's just going into his mouth.
Like, sitting right there, and it's like...
That wasn't as sexy as your hand.
Thank you guys for making...
Was that on the originals, though, instead?
No, that was here. That was TBD. Okay. With my hand lick. Thank you guys for that. That was fun watching me lick my hand over and over again.
Yeah,
oh,
it was.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steven. Even Steven in the booth thinks it's sexy.
Same page.
We're getting some stuff about the ring. Nicholas Kelly said the ring didn't work since they are connected to the other side.
Oh.
So now that the other side is gone, that's why the rings are not happening.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's all about the other side.
It's all about the other side, man. Without the other side, everything just falls apart. Yeah. The last thing I want to touch on with Jeremy is I loved the brother-sister moments that we got between him and Elena.
That we haven't seen that in so long.
It's so true. It was so sweet seeing them together and hanging out and smoking a doobie.
One thing I was just really sad about is that Elena was like, I'm not a good sister. I didn't think she handled that in a wrong way. Like, in the very beginning, she was trying to take care of him. She was there for him. She was trying in her best way.
It's so difficult when you're that young to be there for yourself and be there for somebody else.
I thought she did a good job.
I think she did as good of a job as she could. But I do understand why, in some ways, she felt like she could have been a better sister. If she still had parents, she would have been a better sister because she could have concentrated on that. But she was trying to be mom, dad, and sister at times. And that's when it kind of got hold of her. So I get what she was saying. But I love this moment. And I do have a very strange question for you guys.
Bring it.
All right. I watch a lot of TV. You guys know that. Too much TV. No such thing. And they were smoking a joint in this. And I feel like I don't usually watch people smoke a joint. Is it now because it's becoming more legal that it's okay that we're watching them smoke on CW? You know, like, that would be such an HBO Entourage kind of moment. But we're watching them smoke pot. That's what's going on. And this, the target demo for this has got to be like 13 to, I don't know, 30.
You know what's funny is last night I was watching Empire and someone started to, like, they went to the act of starting to light up a huge bong. And I thought that was a little weird. I was like, oh, wow, that's a huge bong right there. And then, you know, now you're bringing it up. I didn't realize that, you know, it is something we're starting to see more and more on television.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how you used to not be able to say ass on the radio.
Yeah.
Remember the song, Shake Your Ass? It was Shake Your Beep. Watch yourself. I heard it on the radio, like, a couple months ago on a throwback station, and they actually said ass, and it's censorship, I guess.
Well, I will do a quick throwback to season one, because Jeremy did smoke pot with, like, they smoked pot, they
We used to watch them, though. I remember them talking about it, but I can't remember him actually smoking pot.
They were standing outside the school.
Yeah, and he was like, and he kind of, like, threw it. Like, we didn't see the full-on pass the joint, this is okay.
Even that, though, it was still kind of, like, shady. This was, like, two siblings, we're promoting this, they're sitting, they're hanging themselves. Honestly, this is nothing to do with my own personal opinions, except for the fact that I thought it was really cool and realistic. Like, I thought that the way that they portrayed it was great. I love that she eased up for a second and was like, you know what, this is the most normal thing we've done.
Yeah.
Really cool moment.
That was a great line from her, and it was so true.
Yeah, it really is the most normal thing they've done.
Exactly.
They need a little more normal in their lives, those poor
kids.
And
he needed it, and he's not getting it now.
I thought you meant he needed the joint. And I was like,
he needed the normalcy, and he's not really getting it by becoming a hunter.
Well, I don't know. It might make him paranoid. I don't think we want to see High Jeremy when he's hunting vampires.
With a bow and arrow. Yeah.
I think that was his, like, goodbye to Mystic Falls and the drugs all at the same time. Like, okay, this is my final one.
How about the
one.
Hair? Can we lose the hair?
He did need a little trim on the haircut. The hair. It's looking a little 90s, like, Full House.
Can't see your eyeballs
on me. Yeah. It's, you're not a werewolf, Jer. Cut the hair.
It's crazy because I know that Elena is a vampire, but obviously Nina Dobrev is not. And she doesn't look like she's aged. And Jeremy looks like he's aged so much. So it's interesting. Maybe that's why they're doing the hair, to make him look different and older. Because Elena looks the same always.
I mean, yeah,
that would be great.
Jeremy did go from looking like a little boy to a man.
They referenced it in this episode.
Yeah.
He's in the gym getting swell.
Getting swole. Yeah, Jer. Well, clearly we're going to miss him, and hopefully once we get Bonnie back, since he did mention Bonnie, because last week I said I don't see how Jeremy is leaving with Bonnie still not there.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe when he was going to the bus, I thought maybe the twist was going to be he's actually going to, where's she going, Norway or something to, you know, in 94?
Nova Scotia.
So I was like, maybe he's going there to try and, like, be there when she gets free or something.
That would have made sense. Although I will say that I'm glad he didn't wait around for Bonnie, and that they did say, there's never going to be a right time. When's been the right time in the last 6 years? There's never been a right time. You just have to go. But I didn't like that it was an afterthought. Like, oh, by the way, if Bonnie's ever back, let me know. I'm on speed dial.
Well, exactly. So, I mean, if Bonnie comes back, which I think we all hope and think that she's going to, I think she's going to at some point, whether that's at the end of the season, next week, whatever. But again, what Julie Plec said is still, like, etched in my brain, that basically he's not going to be a main character again unless she was messing with us.
That'd be a major swerve. Yeah.
Sometimes they do that to throw you off the scent, though. But, I mean, he did... He is the one who, you know, has decided to part ways with this for now. So we'll see, maybe in a season or two, he'll be like, hey, I want to come back. And then they'll welcome him back with open arms.
You never know if that was a contract issue. Like, he is just now not a season regular because they couldn't come to terms on... And I don't know anything. This is just me speculating. But maybe they couldn't come to terms on pay, so instead he's a guest star or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And maybe he guest stars for 10 out of 12 episodes, but he's still not considered a regular. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we have one relationship, you know, ending. Jeremy's leaving all of us. But we have Caroline and Stefan coming together, finally, for some of us. Other people think it's still a little out there for them that Stefan and Caroline are getting together. How are you guys feeling about all the time that's being spent and dot, 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 that kiss, though?
Duh. Yeah. You guys go ahead.
Honestly, I think that they handled it in a beautiful way. You know, a lot of people have been saying that, how can they do this with them coming together with her mom and everything that's going on with her cancer? But they addressed that tonight when they were talking. Stefan and Caroline were on the porch saying, you know, she's like, you don't have to be here if there's somewhere you'd rather be. And he said, no, there's not. And I think what's happening there is just a beautiful relationship is going to blossom out of this beautiful friendship. And my heart was really happy for the two of them. That was the happy moment in this episode.
I agree. I want both of them to be happy. Both Stefan and Caroline, I love them so much as characters. Mm-hmm. Want them to be happy. I didn't really exactly see the chemistry between them until this episode. This episode, I was like, okay, my pants just fell off when I watched that kiss. Like, this is the first time where it seemed like it made sense.
That's the second time you use that reference. Is that, like, the same thing as panty peeler? My pants fell off?
I've never heard of panty peeler, but I'm assuming so.
Huh.
I don't know.
Well, honestly, I have to say, and this goes against everything I believe, because you guys know I'm Clara Line forever, drink. but I was so, so wholeheartedly Steriline in this moment. I just thought it was time. It was the right moment. We've been waiting for it. You know when two, and this has to do with the actors and their chemistry, but I just felt like that kiss was perfect. The way that the kiss was, I just loved it.
I know.
That's great.
And right before leading up to that, too, when he grabbed her hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you knew it was coming. Before, I always was like, ooh, is it coming? Is it coming? This wasn't like that, and maybe it's because I saw some tweets, but I was like, it's coming.
I also want to point out the sun, how beautiful it was in between.
Sunset.
And it just reminded me of the other episode.
The Delana kiss.
With the lights coming out of nowhere, headlights, something, whatever that was. But the lights and the kisses, I think that makes it beautiful.
It's like heaven.
Yeah.
So it's like them being like, we support this.
Yes.
This needs to happen.
It's like God opened up the gates and the angels are singing and there's a hallelujah chorus going on for these two right now.
Yeah. And I love the moment that Stefan says, I'm here because I want to be here. Mm-hmm. And when you said you hated me, that was the worst thing I heard in a while. I feel like he's actually coming around to the fact that he's like, holy crap, I really like this girl.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, where did that come from?
I think when she told him episodes ago that she had feelings for him, like, he just never considered it. And that's the moment that it's all been kind of rushing, or not, but slowly creeping up on him, and he's realizing, like you said, he really likes her.
Right.
Yeah.
I still really want to hear him say, though, like, I care about you, and as more than a friend, I know actions speak louder than words, but at the same time, she always has, like, the lesser hand here, because she expressed her feelings, and he did not express them back, which is one of the worst feelings to feel, and he still hasn't been like, you're my girl.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that, but I do think that men work in a different way than women, and I feel like he did express himself tonight. And I, as a woman, would also like to hear somebody say, yeah, I know you just kissed me, but, like, what's up? Because we get in our own heads, we're a little neurotic about it.
I feel like one of us should say something right now.
Exactly. She says that, and he's Yeah, and
which was a cute moment.
It was cute, but she probably wants him to be like, I like you, or something. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, your turn.
Your turn? He's like, all right, say something. Yeah. I said it's something. Okay. But I love that moment between them. I thought it was beautiful, like you guys did, too. One of the things that I was still a little... I think that Stefan because he's a guy and he's working at a slower pace, I wanted him to say, I love you, but then I also understand that her mom is also dying, and that's actually what they were at that cabin to do, was to, you know, make this place beautiful for her mom to come spend her last days or whatever. So I can see why he's not stepping full force of, like, hey, woman, you're mine now. Like, let's go study. Here's my pen. All that jazz.
But, you know, I feel like he is showing it through his actions by being there and saying the things he, you know, did. And I'll pick out your mom's last book. And, like, just, he's so there for her.
Yeah, and he's saying, I want to do that stuff. And then I have to say, I saw a lot of very vulgar tweets about this, being like, when are they gonna bang? Like, when's it? And I'm just like, what? At what point did Steriline become about that? Like, it's never like there's been this fiery passion, sexual chemistry between them. They've been best friends forever. I do think they should take it slow. I think it'd be the absolute wrong decision if they just decide to, like, get it on in the middle of a cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're vampires. I mean, like, they're probably, like, okay.
But, well, I hope, eventually they should sleep together.
But they have to take it slow.
Yeah, and I'm with Roxy. I think that this should be the first beautiful relationship of, you know, healthiness on both ends and, you know, loving and supporting of each other, and not just, oh my gosh, let's go, like, rampage, have sex. Those are fun, and if you're into it, you're into it, and that's great. But I would love to see these two on a just a more pure path, I guess, which makes me sound like the conservative Christian mom, but I'm not.
Yeah, I agree. But to play devil's advocate for 1 second, what I will say is we have seen Stefan love so many women. He has been in love with so many different girls, and that is why I have been a Claroline drink fan for so long, because I do feel like Klaus's only woman for so long was Caroline. And is she special to Stefan? We'll have to wait and see. Does he care more about her than he cared about any of those other women, including Elena, who he only recently has not had feelings for, and I'm still skeptical on that. So it's like, I don't want to see Caroline get hurt, because he loves women in general, and she's the one who chose him.
And that's what the big thing is here. They have to take it slow, because if you're going to date your best friend's ex, Caroline, you have to make sure it's the for real thing.
Right.
Because there is that girl code, and I know it's been years, and people are like, oh, it's okay now, you know, Elena understands, but there still is that little bit of code where if you're going to date my ex, at least make it worth it. Make sure he's the absolute one. Don't break up 3 months from now over something stupid, because then what was the point of doing it in the first place?
Mm-hmm. And coming from a Selena fan, I would not want to see this go fast. I would want to see it take time and ease me into it, because I still and will always believe that Stefan and Elena had a true love.
Well, they did. Yeah. Of course they did.
But real life, T, going back to your point, real life, never legitimate. Never at any point legitimate to go from brother to brother and then have your friend date the brother. Like, on this show, I feel like it's been long enough for Caroline and Stefan to start something. But if this was real life, real time, I don't care that it's been... it's only actually been, I think, a year since we've seen them kiss.
Yeah.
It's never going to be long enough.
Which is why I think I'm such a strong supporter of Delana, because if you're going to go from sleeping with one brother to the other,
stick with it.
Yeah. Don't make this a half-assed effort. Make sure this is actually what you want and it's the real deal and you're in it for the long run.
Right.
Because otherwise, you just look like a slut.
I suppose. But at the same time, someone else has been a slut, and that's, I'm sorry. I know, and I think I like Elena, but then when I go on the show, it seems like I hate her. And then I'm like, maybe I do hate her, but I don't. But she's been not great. I mean, Elena's been a bit of a floozy herself, so she really can't do anything.
Well, that's who she was talking about, Elena.
Yeah.
Well, yes, Elena's been a slut. Okay, for a second, I thought you were talking about Caroline.
No, but, Caroline.
No. I'm saying Elena, because she's dated both brothers, and why I'm so advocate for Delana to stay together is because you broke up with one brother to go to the other one. Make sure you made the right choice, and you're sticking with your... And that was what your heart really wanted.
Stick the landing.
Yes, stick the landing.
Well, just one last thing about this. I just want to say, my mom always says, make sure he loves you more than you love him, and... It just scares me, because at this very moment, I think that Caroline loves Stefan more than he loves her. He's just starting to, like, you know, get used to the feeling of feeling that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And he's somebody who loves love. And she is, too. But it's kind of, since we talked about going back to the pilot, for her, it's kind of always been him. I hate to say that, but, you know, we did see there was the Klaus thing, which obviously I love. And then there was... it's kind of Tyler, not kind of, I guess, fully, mm-hmm. but then not Tyler. And did she have anybody else? She was sleeping with Damon for a while, too. Mm-hmm.
But that was, he compelled her. Yeah. So.
And then we thought maybe a moment with Enzo. But yeah. I don't know.
Have an Enzo thing.
I just
sure.
feel like for her, she's crushed on Stefan for so long, and now I just don't want it to be out of convenience that they get together, which I don't think it is, and I'm praying they don't make it like that.
Mm. Yeah. All right, guys. Katie, I'm sorry, but it's time. We have to talk about this.
No.
Guys.
All right. I couldn't sit in a room for a minute longer with you guys watching this. Like, it was already so sad for me, and then I would look over at you guys, and it was like waterworks. Like, getting through this, and I had the remote, and I was like, should I pause this? Like, yeah. do I turn the volume off? This, they couldn't have done a better job at yanking at our heartstrings for this.
And tonight, all the promos and all the press has been about saying goodbye to Jeremy. It's like, baby Gilbert is leaving, baby Gilbert, baby Gilbert, and then boom, they slap you across the face.
They didn't prep us.
I said this last week, though.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be the final episode for
her. I was just like, you can't lose two characters in one episode, but I mean, slap me across the face, why don't you? I was not expecting that. And I will say, for the record, Katie cried a lot more than I did.
I mean, two characters. I was thinking we were going to lose Matt at some point in tonight's episode, too. So there was just a lot going on and a lot of emotions. And honestly, no matter how much they did tell us that Forbes was going to pass away, I just kept not believing it. Because we did save her, and there was the whole vamp thing, and we did try different things, and I'm like, she's kind of the last of the parents. I guess we've got Matt's parents somewhere, apparently, hiding his mom.
Julie Cooper.
Yeah.
I was really hoping she would come back, by the way, with all the references, and so it was like, your mom! I'm like, where's Julie Cooper?
There's still a chance. She could still pop up.
Once you're on the OC, that's all you'll ever be doing.
Paul Wesley was on the OC.
Oh, yeah, she showed me a picture of that earlier.
He worked in the very beginning when Ryan worked at that little restaurant. Mm-hmm. He worked there, and he was like the bad guy in that episode.
It was the pilot, and he invited him to the party in which he got a fight.
He had the gun out.
What did I see him in the other day, too? He was the boyfriend in something. I'll have to remind you guys next week.
Vampires. They're everywhere because they're ageless.
All right. He looked damn good in tonight's episode. I'll stop talking about him.
I mean, he really did.
He always
but
does.
Back to Sheriff Forbes.
Right.
So I want to talk. So she knows that it's coming down to her final day. She's about to, you know, put down her badge for the last time. But before she does that, she wants to close out some cases. She gets help from Damon, who is the culprit behind half of them.
or at least claims to be
the culprit behind half of them. But then she asks him an interesting question. Well, she never really comes out and says it, but she gets to the Gilbert case with Elena's parents' car crash. And she kind of is like, I never wanted to say anything because we became friends, and I didn't want to know if... And he's like, you thought I had something to do with that? Is that a legitimate thought process for her?
Well, and we learned, too, that this is an open case, which I never even thought that they would ever go there with this accident.
I don't think this is the last we're hearing of this story. To answer your question, T, yes, I think it's legitimate. Why were Stefan and Damon both there? That's legitimate. I don't think she said to him, she didn't accuse him, she just was like, I didn't want to ask. I think it is legitimate that she had the fleeting thought, because we know his track record. That being said, I don't think he had anything to do with it, and something is going off in me saying, this isn't the last we're going to hear about this. Everything fell into place too quickly with the slippery roads and the storm and the pipeline going down and the luggage because of the storm and the whatever it was. It all happened too fast, and I'm not buying it.
Could he have been I don't know. I don't want to accuse him of this, but Damon, could he have done that knowing that Stefan went back there to, you know, basically creep on Elena and wonder why does she look so much like Catherine, because that's what he did. And Damon still thought Catherine was alive at this time, so he didn't care too much about who Elena was, and he was trying to mess with Stefan. And, like, you know, when they first met, we saw them have that huge fight back in season one. So could he have done that?
Oh, I hope not.
I think more likely than Damon having something to do with it is Stefan having something to do with it, and he saved her, but he was the one who caused something.
I just hope it's neither of them.
I hope it's neither of them, too. But I don't actually think... I thought that, like Roxy said, I thought everything tied together a little too nicely. But I think that what they actually brought this case up for is to get us to Stefan and Damon's mommy issues. Because we haven't heard them talk much about their mom and the way she died and, you know, going to visit her grave and stuff. So I like that for Sheriff Forbes, she needed to know that there are people out there who just, there is just life happens as humans, to get the humanity back in the show, because everyone who we've seen die, it's usually from vampires, werewolves, witches, curses, all this stuff. So, you know, her final realization, like, you know, they just, it was just an accident. I'm gonna die just normal, just ordinary. I'm dying an ordinary death is what she said. And I think that was kind of what was behind it. But I don't want them to let her die thinking this, and then it comes out that something more happened. I'd rather them go down the Stefan Damon mom road.
Yeah. I think that they actually are.
Yeah, but I think that would be great to see, because we know a lot about their dad.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying in some sense of why they were doing it, but another part of me thinks that they were doing it to open up the door, saying, like, Sheriff Forbes had to get this information out before she died, because otherwise we never would have known this investigation was still open. And I do think part of it was for closure for her, but my spidey senses are going off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they can do that while simultaneously showing us about Damon and Stefan's parent issues, which I think is really, really cool to humanize them a little bit. Like, I forget, because they've lived for so long and they've gone through so much, that at some point they had loved ones that weren't vampires that passed. Mm-hmm. Parents, friends, whatever it is. And we know they move every few years, so we never really get to hear about any of their stories. There's still so much time missing. If you ever look at, like, the actual originals, Vampire Diaries timelines, it's like decades are missing, and we don't know what the heck happened.
Mm-hmm. That's why this show can go on forever.
It can.
And ever and ever.
As long as the cast starts getting Botox, because, you know, eventually they will all start aging.
No, say it ain't so.
Say it ain't so. They are actually human, guys. I don't know if you knew this.
No.
But, I mean, I like that she brought this up, and I like that she got her closure. And I like that I wish that Caroline had been with her, but I also liked seeing Damon there with her, because it just shows you again how good of friends they were, and how this is someone who Damon really cares about, and he's losing someone else, because he's lost Bonnie too, for now at least. And so we're seeing him just more and more humanized as the season goes on.
I would have been upset if Caroline didn't have that last moment living in her memory, but I agree with you. I think it was beautiful to have Damon be there when she was last awake, you know, having those last words, because they were good friends for so long.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, but I did feel like if it couldn't be Caroline, it should be Damon, but I really wanted that final Caroline Forbes moment. And we got the dream sequence, it wasn't a dream, it was a remembering, but I felt so bad for her in that moment. I know what it's like to not be able to say goodbye to somebody, and it's just like that gut-wrenching thing that sticks with you and will never go away for her, and I felt so bad. Yeah. And I think that they'll bring that up many times.
Yeah, and I also think that, though, where she is kind of, her relationship with her mom ended, like, you know, physically, her relationship with Stefan was beginning. And that's what her mom wanted.
Right. So. That's true. That's true.
The circle of life.
Yeah, although I'm nervous that they're going to get slack for that. Like Katie was talking about earlier, them starting about this death, I think that they might get some slack.
But I think that sometimes it is in death that it brings people together, and that's relationships true. Are kind of started in sadness, because it's the person who's there for you and consoling you that ends up being, you know, the one that you get physical with and stuff like that.
I think how somebody is able to relate to you in your time of need is very important, which is why I don't find a problem in this joining them together. But I do see that people are finding a problem. I think that's valid.
Yeah. And I don't want, because I've seen a lot of people saying that Caroline could end up blaming Stefan for not being there.
Right.
And I just wanted to show Caroline wanted to go to the cabin to set it up for her mom, and Stefan came to help her, and her mom was supposed to come, but then, you know, got tired and decided not to. So it's not really Stefan's fault that she wasn't there. Caroline was the one who made the plans to go there, not Stefan. So I just don't want him to get blamed for this.
Let me run something by you, because, again, I'm all over Twitter on this, and I'm seeing that people are nervous that Caroline is going to flip off her humanity after this in a similar way that Stefan has done. Mm. Number one, do you think that will happen? And number two, would you like to see that?
I don't think it'll happen. I think she's stronger than that. I think she's going to have a really tough time, and she's maybe going to try to hide it and try to put on a brave face. But we're going to see her struggling with it, I think, in the next coming episodes. But I don't think she's going to turn off her humanity.
Yeah.
Humanity.
And her I think she's going to choose to not. She's going to make a conscious choice. I'm not going to turn off my humanity. I'm going to, like, revel in this sadness.
Because her mom's not going to want her to do that.
No.
Is there any chance in the world that Stefan actually advises her to do that because he says, that's how I got through it, and we'll be able to flip it back on later? I don't think that's going to happen. No. I'm just wondering if there's any shot.
I think that, if anything, Caroline is going to be the one, she's going to be the one putting on the brave face, like, oh, no, it's fine. I'm good, guys. I'm good. And everyone's going to be like, Caroline, you need to deal with your issues and deal with how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Guys, those are my thoughts on the show. I have to run, but thank you for having me here for this period of time. And I love you guys. I love the show. And I'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Thanks, Roxy. Bye. Love you. So, yeah, I really hope that it's not something that Caroline does. I don't think that it's anything that her mother would want her to do. And if there's anything that Caroline wants more than anything right now, it's to make her mom proud, because she knows that her mom sacrificed a lot for her, and they had their ups and downs in the relationship, and the best thing for her to do is to, you know, cherish those memories in a positive way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think she's going to turn into Caroline from high school, who's like peppy cheerleader. Hey guys, okay, like, this is what we're doing today. She's going to be so all over the place trying to get things done and not think about it, that people are going to be the ones sitting her down like, hey, are you really okay? Because you're not.
I think she's going to be breaking down behind doors, not in front of people. Mm-hmm. Like you said, she's going to be peppy in front of people. But she's not going to turn her humanity off.
No, she can't do that. Plus, they can't do the same storyline. Like, get original. You know? No pun intended. But, you know, come up with something new for a different way. And I think that what helps Caroline now is that she has her friends. Elena has lost parents. Bonnie, when she's back, has lost parents. Stefan, Damon, everyone, Matt, they've all lost family and parents like that before. So everyone can be here to support her and to really help her get through this in a positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, did I miss anything? Do you guys have any other last words on this episode from tonight besides that won't make Katie cry again?
Because
that's awkward.
That was really depressing.
Guys, she sat in the room for like 3 minutes after the episode ended, just still like tears running down her face. I was like, I don't know if she's going to be able to do this.
You were like, I don't think I can do it.
It was really, really sad.
It was. All right, well then, let's get into some predictions. Mm-hmm. If we have nothing else to say.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Who wants to start?
I'll start. Let's see. I think some predictions is Damon and Elena's relationship is going to continue to grow and be strong. And I think they really haven't, like, had that, you know, oh, we're good now, but we know they're good. I mean, we just know they're good. I think that Caroline is going to struggle a lot. Her and Stefan's just going to be by her side, and things are not going to move as fast, you know, mainly because she's grieving, and he's going to kind of be that bridge of, like, being a friend and a boyfriend. Kai, it was not in this episode. Neither was Joe. And neither was Liv.
Yeah.
Neither was Tyler. They're all going to come back, and the whole Gemini Coven thing is probably going to be a big, like, last quarter of the season, what we're focusing on, which is probably said goodbye to some characters tonight, and then I think a big focus is going to be on that.
Yep. I agree about the whole Stefan and Caroline, too, with it moving slowly, and it's not going to really go romantically right now because she's grieving. She's dealing with the death of her mom, and I just think that we are going to see Mama Salvatore. I really think
I really
she's coming.
Her.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that, and I really hope we do. And they brought it up several times tonight. And speaking of bringing it up with Damon, talking about who's supposed to say the eulogy at her funeral, and he didn't go to the funeral. And, oh, my gosh, it was beautiful when Sheriff Forbes was like, you can do it at mine.
Oh, gosh.
I know. And prediction for myself next week is I'm going to need tissues again.
At the funeral. Yeah, I'm really excited to see or to hear Damon's eulogy for Sheriff Forbes, because I think that it's going to be beautiful, because and it's going to show us just how much he has changed over the years and through the seasons and how close they actually were. I also am really interested to learn who's going to be the new sheriff in town. Yes. Now that Forbes is gone, that leaves a position open. Is it going to be a position where we actually know this person already, mm-hmm. new person in town who's come in? Like, how involved in their lives is this new sheriff going to be? And how tolerated are vampires going to be in Mystic Falls with a new sheriff who might be not feeling it or something?
Right. I know, and we all thought maybe Matt could take the position, but it's like he's in some other...
He's not even a cop yet.
Yeah.
He's dealing with a lot of police training, and he's being toyed with right now.
And he's on another path of he needs some help right now.
Matt is all over the place.
Real quick though, I just want to say I still think that's going to happen. I do. I don't think maybe there'll be like a someone in between. Mm. I think Matt will end up being the sheriff, and that's why he's still on the show.
I could see that. And then just quickly, because a lot of people are talking about this in our chat feed right now, Tyler, do you guys think that he's going to end up becoming a werewolf again?
I really do. I've said it from the beginning. I think he will be eventually. I'm not sure how soon. We've had a lot going on with the coven, and now we have this and saying goodbye and the funeral and the grieving. And just in the future, I think he has too much temper to not.
Yeah.
To not become a werewolf.
Yeah.
And I thought it was weird. I know they explained his absence because Liv broke up with him broke up with his girlfriend, but it was still just really weird that he was not in the room when Forbes was dying, because even Matt, who just got hit by a car and was doing something crazy with Sarah and Enzo earlier in the day, made his way to the hospital. So I think that when Stefan called him and left him the voicemail, that he would show up at the last second. Mm-hmm.
Do you think maybe Kai has a hold of him or is doing something with him? I mean,
honestly, I think it's just budget for the episode.
Right.
And they couldn't afford to have him on set that week. That's what I honestly think happened, but I still think that it's just every sort of person who's been there from the start, with the exception of Jeremy, because he had just gotten on a bus to leave town, was in that room. Because they all are family and they all have had loss. You know, he lost both of his parents too. Mm-hmm. So it just goes back to like, why wasn't he there? Which I understand from a production standpoint, just story. I would have liked to see him there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have, though, brought back people. I think this show has a big budget. I think they could have done it. I think they're trying to tie him more into the Gemini Coven storyline, which was not in it at all this episode. So he'll be back, I think, for sure.
All right, well, if people want to keep this conversation going with you guys during the week, where can they find you?
You guys can find me online at samdavidsonentertainment.com. And, again, both Twitter and Instagram at samd43.
You can find me on Twitter at KatieEECampbell. That's Katie with three E's, Campbell, and Instagram at KatieCampbell13.
Thank you so much for watching, guys. And don't forget to check out AfterBuzz TV on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, everywhere that you can find a podcast. That's where we are. Find it. Listen to us. Rate us. Comment. We love chatting with you guys in the live chat. So if you're not watching us live, we're live Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure you join in on that. And I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at TheTianaHobson. And Roxy Stryer can be found on Instagram and Twitter at Roxy Stryer, correct?
Yes.
I said that right. since she had to leave, I'll give her a plug, I guess. Again, thank you for watching us, and we will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.